These systems, although they have lower productivity than fertilised systems, provide a brilliant level of cover for the soil. The deep-rooted perennial grasses are very good at capturing incidental rainfall, especially in summer.
This is a prevention of erosion?
This can prevent erosion, but they can also turn that captured rainfall into biomass for forage. These grassy woodlands extend from the tablelands, from the Great Dividing Range right down to the slopes, right through New South Wales and southern Queensland. And really the importance of perennial grasses is very high for stable production in all those areas. But I guess in the more drier western reaches, this becomes a much more critical issue. And where cropping has been extensive and the replacement of the perennial grasses has been widespread, there's potentially some real concerns about protection of those landscapes in a drying environment.
Have you been able to quantify this at all in terms of how valuable they are for farm production?
It's been increasingly recognised, really, that healthy native pastures are a great asset.
How do you get that across to landowners, to farmers?
It has to be, I guess, viewed through the lens of stability of production and reliability of production. So great peaks of production are great, but in bad times, maybe smaller peaks but more consistent production is there. So it's a more of a risk management issue than a rate of return issue that is often the more simplistic analysis of this situation.
Another issue that you've also raised is the ability of some of these areas to improve the pollination of agricultural crops.
When you think about the feral honeybee, which is not admittedly part of our native biodiversity, but nonetheless there are feral honeybees throughout rural Australia. They nest in trees and tree hollows. And we just assume that that service is available in terms of pollinating canola crops and pollinator-dependent crops. Bee health is, I think, probably much more dependent on remnant native vegetation than we're absolutely aware of.
To perhaps ask that broader question of how able Australia's landscape is to feed and sustain its population.
The economics has really determined that if it's economical to crop, land tends to get converted to crops. However, if we look at future-proofing, I guess, for change and land use options in the future, we really need to think that cropping is quite a narrow, economic use. Our work over many years, which has sort of pulled together the work of many people in ecology and agriculture, has determined that if a landscape has more than 30%, about a third of its area under cropping, it starts to run into all sorts of sustainability issues and losses of biodiversity.
Can you see a program which would address the sorts of issues you've outlined?
No, I've worked on this for 20 years, and in general there's a huge amount of resistance for whole of landscape planning, except maybe it's some catchment or regional planning. In terms of individuals, there is still a great push in society to maximise the area that is able to be used for cropping, into cropping, and I'm very sorry to have to say that if your landscape is highly intensified, all I can tell you is these are the issues that you potentially face in the future: loss of biodiversity, loss of trees, loss of perennial grasses, loss of water holding capacity in the soil.